gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Last year, Disney ruled the box office, but not every movie from the House of Mouse is a winner. This is January 2020, Disney Minus. The mid-2010s revived Hollywood's interest in the apocalypse. Spurred by the success of The Hunger Games and The Walking Dead, films about the end of the world caused by war, zombies, aliens, or environmental collapse were exceptionally popular, with A Quiet Place, Snowpiercer, Interstellar, and Mad Max Fury Road among the most lauded examples. Of course, we also got After Earth, Geostorm, and This Is the End, indicating that the apocalypse had started to wear out its welcome. Of course, Disney had to have their say. Released in May 2015 as a summer tentpole, Tomorrowland, starring George Clooney and directed by Brad Bird, was Disney's answer to the already cliché end-of-the-world genre. Bird, who had found success directing animated films with The Iron Giant and The Incredible, and more recently in live action with Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, partnered with Damon Lindelof and Jeff Jensen, who would go on to create the HBO series Watchmen, to develop a film based on the Walt Disney theme park attraction Tomorrowland. Disney had a recipe for a hit in the same vein as their Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, bankable leading man, experienced director, ties to a nostalgic theme park mainstay, and a marketing campaign that emphasized the mystery and wonder of what the film would offer. Okay, so you know this is our month of Disney flops, so you can guess how this story ends. But Tomorrowland crashed especially hard, opening in third place to only $93 million in North America and going on to lose the studio an estimated $140 million. So why did audiences reject a movie that so hopefully presents an alternative to the apocalypse? The answer may lie in a film that came out a few weeks earlier and reinvigorated moviegoers' interest in the tired genre, Mad Max Fury Road. As Disney Minus comes to a close, Legends Podcast puts a pin in Tomorrowland to figure out what went wrong. Gentlemen, did you see Tomorrowland in the movie theater?
Yes. First weekend, I was excited as hell, and I was really surprised that people didn't like it.
Now, what drew you to this picture? Was it Clooney? Was it Brad Bird? Was it the...
That's the movie that Brad Bird decided to do instead of Star Wars. So that's why we got JJ, The Force Awakens. So I wanted to know what a director like Brad Bird was attracted to drop a prestige project like Star Wars at this point. So
it's probably easier to flop a Tomorrowland than a Star Wars.
Yes, it's easier, but I think I know exactly why the movie flops. The movie is basically what Disney was doing in the 70s type of movies. It's an old Disney movie made in 2015. It basically came 30 years too late.
So an old Disney movie, you mean kind of in the vein of what?
Oh my God, they were doing a bunch in the 70s, like a... Herbie the Love Bug.
Okay, and these I'm thinking kind of like Escape to Witch Mountain or something
like that. Yes, they had the Tom Sawyer movie also somewhere in the 70s.
But they were doing this in the 2000s, right? I mean, they had Haunted Mansion, they had Pirates of the Caribbean. Yep. They were trying to cash in on IP that already had like recognition because you saw it at a Disney theme park. Or, you know, it had something to do with Disney already.
That's the other thing, is that the movie has the same aesthetic as the theme park that was built in the 60s and 70s. So you have that kind of Disney punk future, where you have weird friendly technology here and there, and spooky scientists and all that bullshit.
Well, there's a lot of bullshit in this movie.
Parts of it were fun. I mean, there were parts of it that were fun, but it got long in the tooth real quick.
Beef, what was your impression of this movie when it first came out? Now, remember, this was a pretty big box office summer. We had Avengers Age of Ultron, and a bunch of other Jurassic World was this summer. Movies that broke records, and yet this movie was fairly quickly forgotten.
I mean, I remember the marketing for it, but I did not see it in the theaters.
Okay. What was the marketing?
Some futuristic stuff, some kids and Clooney. That's all I really remember.
Okay. Yeah.
Lots of the start of the movie when you get into the land when he's young and falling on the track.
I mean, you don't even know that there's danger to the world till the halfway through the last act or whatever. I mean, they tell you right away just because they're like, oh shit, we need to let them know the world's ending.
Right.
But if they didn't explicitly tell you, you wouldn't know till at least the last act.
You're right. They're just following the path of clues one after the other, like a classic adventure.
Some of it is all right, because you know me and my whoring for post-apocalyptia. Like,
go on.
I love that. So some of that is really good, but
what?
There's parts of it that it's too cheesy, robotic, Disney future, like too... And I get they're trying to bring in children and a younger audience, but it's a weird blend that never really works.
The movie, I have to say, like, it does capture the sense of wonderment in the beginning, but it very quickly, for me, loses it in the... Like, it takes too long to get there, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think I found it, and then I lost it, and I got back in about the second start of the movie at the hour and 10-minute mark.
There's three interesting scenes that happen between the jump to present day and the time they get to Tomorrowland, right? The first scene is in the toy shop, and I thought that was fun. But it felt like it took us forever to get there.
Yeah, like 42 minutes to get there.
Right. And then the... Home Alone in the gadget house.
Yes.
But it took us forever to get there. And then the Eiffel Tower,
thank goodness for the EMP that thing gave off to conveniently erase everybody's phones.
Yeah, from recording the fact that the Eiffel Tower was a rocket ship.
Right.
Which we all know it's a rocket ship, right?
Like, which is so cool. Like, that, some of that stuff, the world building was so much fun, but then you get back to this, like, we're all horrible people, the world's gonna die.
But the people in Tomorrowland are horrible people.
Right.
Like,
so
I'm sorry, Hugh Laurie House is over there fucking shit
time
up.
Time out. Has anybody been watching Avenue 5?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yeah, Spoiler-free review. We'll add that later.
Yeah, that's good. So fucking House is over there being a dick. And, like... He's a total dick. Like, he's a megalomaniac, but you kind of start to feel sorry for him, and then they squish him. I was like, okay, they would have worked it out. Like, if this was really the enlightened future, they would have been like, all right, I was wrong. You're smart, you know.
Did anybody get, like, mini Terminatrix vibe from the little chick, because she like punched through the car door window
shot. She was a total Terminator.
And, totally. Yeah, like, oh, I'm gonna self-destruct, use my nuclear core as the bomb that you need. Like, this is sci-fi by numbers. But and she was cute, you know, so she was like, I'm gonna kick stuff's ass and be your daughter.
But yeah, it's sci-fi by number again. It's a classic movie.
Also,
it's made with classic codes.
Also, George Clooney is kind of in love with her.
Which is cool when they're kids, but
when... Let's unpack that a bit.
When she dies, Quotey fingers, and he flies up in the air and doesn't want to let her go, I'm like, spoiler alert, I'm like, don't kiss her.
I mean, they almost went there, speaking of Star Wars.
Don't, with the thing, and that, did you listen?
So again, there are beats in this movie for me that work very well. There are a lot of beats that don't. Can we talk about the main girl, Casey, through the film? Does she bring anything to the film?
Wonderment and dreaming, apparently.
Yeah, but she's also cynical and weird. Like, not weird, but like,
yeah, she's weird.
She screams a lot. Like, it's a lot of. And
maybe
this movie
that's the only way they could get her to act.
This movie does one of the things that I don't like in these types of movies, where you have one character that is just constantly freaked out by everything. And at a certain point, you're like, okay, exploding robots and this and that. Like, just stop screaming.
You got to buy in at some point in time.
If you're, right, you have to, like, if you're really as smart as the movie is trying to tell us, you're probably also not, like,
that impressionable.
A damsel in distress, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of done with the concept of damsel in distress anyway, so just be your own person and stop screaming after the third weird thing.
She sounded, you know? I guess if you keep pointing it out like that, she sounded like Ruby Rod from The Fifth Element.
Yeah, well, she was, coming, yeah, coming, like, she was being that character. And that's funny because it's Ruby Rod, right? Like,
right.
That's the character that he's supposed to be.
Repeat the same shit that Clooney said, like, back louder as a question.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. There's a couple good bits where she figures out the hologram dog and she sneaks into his house. But after that, it's like back to the screaming. And then she just comes up with a solution out of nowhere. And you're like, okay. But at the same time, you're like, no one else thought of that? Like, that seems so obvious.
I feel like that in most movies. So
they also lost something I noticed, too, in the very beginning. The young British robot chick, she got hit by the car or something, and they're back in a vehicle, and she's like, 1 minute till I self-destruct, and then she goes to a rear translator, and then, like, 5 minutes later, she's still driving the other chick around, and I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't she supposed to blow up? Or is that the self-destruct gun? Chekhov self-destruct.
I don't know. I guess they kind of showed it to us when they blew up the store.
Yeah.
True.
When, what's his name from Key and Peele? And what's her name from Saturday Night Live or whatever? I don't know.
These people.
Yeah, those people, they blew up.
Couldn't those robots outside the door have not killed the cops and just been like, it's a nerdy collectible store?
A Disney movie, there's a lot of murder.
There is a lot of murder. But is it better because they get vaporized?
Yeah, they just get... They get poof,
it's okay, there's
poofed.
No blood.
Yeah, they just go poof.
When you go poof, you're fine. If your blood is green, you're
no,
fine.
No, see, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works because the Germans poofed a lot of people.
We're celebrating the 75th anniversary, actually, this week of the liberation of Auschwitz.
Good.
So,
oh, yeah,
very,
I've seen all the
very,
news stories.
Very timely that you brought that up.
Topical.
In the context of a Disney movie.
Yes.
And the Holocaust.
Yes. Sorry
okay,
about
well,
that, people.
You know, Walt Disney was an anti-Semite. It's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I wanted to like this movie. I really did.
There are parts
I know
of it that are okay, though.
It got shat on. I actually really like the end of the movie when they have everybody across the world and they kind of, like, set up what that would look like. But at the same time, it's so, like... aren't movies really depressing, guys?
Aren't
like,
we horrible
aren't you guys
people?
Sick? Aren't you guys sick of the end of the world? Aren't you just making it a self-fulfilling prophecy? And it's really interesting because I don't know, it's also topical, if you've looked at like Greta Thunberg and what she's been doing. She's the 13-year-old climate change activist who like has been going around the world and was nominated for the Nobel Prize and all that stuff. But like she's the exact person that is in this movie, basically. So it is still kind of timely, but at the same time, it's so dumb.
I loved the bombed out part of Tomorrowland or whatever. It looked like the planet from Firefly, the Firefly movie. It looked like the planet from Serenity that they hid, that the Reavers gave. You know, like, it's all futuristic and Disney future and I don't know, but with nobody there.
Right. Well, it looked like the park Tomorrowland, which that's why they made the movie.
It looked like Euro Disney.
Yeah, there's nobody. Just nobody.
I guess also, like Beef, I've never been to a Disney park, right? Is that what you were saying?
Correct, yes.
So at the same time, it's like I don't have a nostalgia factor for the attraction, so I don't know if I see the attraction.
No, the concept of Tomorrowland was basically where they were putting the sci-fi shit.
Yeah.
But again, it's the future of the 70s. Right. So it's not exactly the future you're
expecting.
Yeah,
you gotta update that.
They folded in like Wall-E and Buzz Lightyear, but
yeah, after this movie tank, they basically decided we're gonna revamp Tomorrowland from scratch, and they unbuilt the old thing and they're
also
starting from scratch.
This movie killed Tron Legacy, or the Tron Legacy sequel.
Oh wow.
It was actually this movie's flop that made them basically focus on Star Wars and Marvel and not developing original IP as much.
Not necessarily a bad move when you look where they are right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for those last couple. What? Spoilers.
Well, you know, they did this, you know, 2015, at the end of 2015, we got the Force Awakens, the Star Wars from J.J. Abrams. So it was, with Avengers and this, it was still a good year for Disney. But I don't, you know, this was not the movie to help them out.
Every time this movie got slow or uninteresting, it really felt like it was preaching at me about something.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, the movie, that's the fall down of this movie. They're preaching a lot. They're preaching a lot about everything.
Movies
and
are escapism, for fuck's sakes. I don't want to...
And again, I think I could get behind this movie from the standpoint of it's providing spectacle, but I got to come back to this point that I made in the intro, which about 3 weeks before, or really, no, 2 weeks before, we got Mad Max Fury Road, which was this incredible spectacle of practical effects. Yeah. And it really showcased what movies could do. And this feels like 90% CGI for a substantial chunk of the movie. And I just feel like when you guys have seen Mad Max Fury Road, right?
Yes.
Yes. Multiple times.
I think we need to revisit that soon because...
Add it to the list.
I just kept thinking about how that movie plays with stakes and also is giving the same message. Like, that movie ends on a hopeful message of female empowerment and, like, taking charge of our future in the hands of the people rather than a oppressive oligarch.
Yep.
But the way that that movie plays with stakes and like the physicality of the threat that you face and the geography of the threat that you face and the way that this movie just bops around and like you never feel like you're settled is unsettling, right? And I could see how audiences were like, okay, I saw the trailer for Tomorrowland, but people are telling me I should go see Mad Max Fury Road. And in its third week of release, Mad Max beat Tomorrowland the weekend that it premiered. So, like, I totally see that looking back now.
The whole driving around to in, like, where you're trying to go, when you said bop around, that made me think of it, like, so they're rolling around in the real world in their bodies still, traveling in Tomorrowland? I'm so confused.
Yeah. I guess they're... Okay, so this movie never fully explains how this works. Tomorrowland is an alternate dimension.
Okay.
That they were able to access.
Mm-hmm.
However, the vision that you get with the pin is actually something that's just beamed directly into your brain, like a holodeck that only you can see.
Okay.
But so you're walking around in real like VR, and that's why she like walked into walls and fell down the stairs. But also, that's a terrible commercial because
you break your neck.
Right. If your commercial to recruit the smartest geniuses in the world accidentally makes them walk into traffic, that doesn't really help your recruitment campaign.
Nah. You know.
It's like, well, don't overthink it, but, you know, she almost accidentally drowned.
Seems problematic. So.
Yeah, it does. Seems very problematic.
Well, you're thinning the herd, you know. You're just keeping the best.
Of the smartest people.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
You give it to a lot of dummies first. Like, I'll take one of the first ones to see how bad we screw up. Don't, you know.
Right.
Save the smart people.
So, you know, again, I think this movie has some, like, it's playing things for visual, like, haha. But at the same time, it, like, it doesn't make sense when you really, really think about it.
They're really playing it for visual. That I have to agree.
Oh, man. I mean, are we really rolling this puppy up?
I think so.
That's the thing. There's not that much talk about.
No, there really isn't.
It's you like it or you don't. It's
George
just that
Clooney
kind of movie.
Is unimpressive in this film. I have to say, like, we've bagged on these Disney movies, Tron Legacy and John Carter, for not having a charismatic lead. But I don't feel much from George Clooney other than he's a grumpy old man in this one.
In this one, you're right.
So, I mean, he was at the top of his game. He was doing, you know, the movies that won him Academy Award nominations and things like that around this time.
Yeah, and he was cashing a paycheck at the same time doing Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Come on, it's a Disney property. They paid him well for that.
Sure.
All right. It's going to be bright, cold, and really loud. You're going to lose 90% of your blood sugar in 1/100th of a second, and you're going to wish you were dead. But then it'll be over, and you'll rate the movie. Wing for Tomorrowland, are you going legendary?
Disney A+.
Legend of its time.
Tomorrowland never dies.
Cult legend.
Sky Captain in the world of Tomorrowland.
Awesome.
Edge of Tomorrowland.
Entertaining.
Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrowland.
Mabel.
The Day After Tomorrowland.
Forgettable.
Yesterday World.
Abysmal.
Disney F-.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Escape from Tomorrow. Have you guys seen this one?
No.
This is the gorilla horror film that the guy
Guerrero?
Filmed at a Gorilla.
Gorilla.
He, like, gorilla he filmed horror. It. Gorora. He filmed it on his, like, iPhone at a Disney park and basically made a horror movie. It's awesome. We did it on Art House Legends a bunch of years back.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With the side of the next movie we make is Soarin.
Soarin is a cool ride, but I don't see the movie you can make it out of that. I don't know. Air Force 2.
Sure.
I'm going to go with a Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrowland. This is very entertaining to me. I have fun with this movie. The low part, well, yeah, they're not that great, but they're not that long either, and you just move from one adventure to the other. So for me, it's a good time. I'm going to give it a solid entertaining. I was thoroughly entertained. Beef.
I got to go one step down from you, The Day After Tomorrowland. This is a solid Mabel for me. I mean, there are parts of it that were entertaining, but they were stitched together with way too much forgettable and bland and preach at me. But maybe going into it again if I ever watched it, because it's free or will be in the middle or end of next year, apparently, on my Disney account.
Mm, yeah, it's... A couple of the movies that we wanted to do don't hit Disney Plus for like another 2 years.
Right.
That's stupid.
So, I mean, maybe if I throw it on again, I would find it more entertaining because, like you said, the entertaining would be stitched together with the blah and I could change the wash or, you know, stir the chili. But right now, solid Mayable. Lobster.
This movie definitely got my chili stirring, if you know what I mean. I'm going to do The Day After Tomorrowland 2, another apocalyptic movie. So this movie was mayable, really, from start to finish. You know, I think the visual style was interesting, but it seemed really hollow once you got down to it. Like, there wasn't much to the world. And they establish Hugh Laurie's character in like the 1960s, and then they fast forward and he's still there and he's just like, yeah, I've just been drinking, you know, a shake a day, and I'm immortal now, so
yeah,
cool.
Apparently you don't age if you drink your shake.
Right. So
I think they never touched on that. Like, I want more, yeah, more of that.
But it just piles on like these hand wavy things that don't really make any sense, and then the movie has no stakes going forward. Like, okay, I'm sorry guys, we all know the planet is dying, it's still dying, like we're not doing anything. I get it, like the movie is preaching at me, but at the same time, like, you gotta raise the stakes for your characters more than that. Like, it just kind of was meh, right? Like, it just never achieved any excitement. I never really bought fully into the stakes of it. And again, I have to compare it to a movie like Mad Max Fury Road that is doing the same thing, but the stakes, like, that movie is so intense and so, and you care about these characters and you don't even know their names. But I don't know, it just never achieves that for me. And I gotta say, it's kind of like the least enjoyable of these three. Like, I probably enjoyed Black Cauldron a little bit more.
You're crazy. I don't know if I go that far.
You are crazy.
At least Tron Legacy.
I enjoyed all the other ones more than this, I think. Even John Carter with Hate. I don't know.
John Carter was fun, too. That was another solid entertaining. I don't think we had a bad month except Black Cauldron.
Okay. I mean, I just feel like these are flops. And we did not do the floppiest of the flops.
Not the Terminator version.
Yeah, we didn't do the most flopped Disney movie, which was The Lone Ranger or Mars Needs Moms.
I've never seen those.
Well, maybe next year if we return to the well of Disney flops.
We did horrible video game movies for 2 years.
Yeah. No, we did horrible. We did video and then comic book movies, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Really? What the fuck's wrong with me? Well, we know.
Next year, depending on how the presidential election goes, I think we should do bad political movies.
Or really dystopian future movies. Last word on Tomorrowland.
All the President Man or something like that?
Sure. The last word on Tomorrowland is wake me up when Tomorrowland ends.
No, it's not that bad.
Peace out, January.
Jetpack.
All right, I like The Rocketeer better.
I haven't watched that since I was like, you know, 12 or whenever it came out.
That's a Disney movie. Fuck.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Universal.
I'm pretty sure it's on Disney Plus.
Cool.
All right, Beef. What time is it?
News time.
All right, so anybody go to the movies lately?
I saw 1917, but that was like a week or two ago.
Okay. So 1917 is number two at the box office, same place it was last week. Bad Boys for Life is number one, same place it was last week. Doolittle is number three, same place it was last week. Pretty much everything stayed static, except we got The Gentlemen from Guy Ritchie, which opened this week at number four, and The Turning, which opened at number six, earning the second F Cinema Score of 2020.
One of the people that I like their reviews said that The Gentleman is in the same vein and feels like Snatch and Lock, Stock, and if you like those, you'll
also at Guy least Ritchie enjoy movies.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But I mean, he said it could have been a flop, you know.
Friend of the show, Eric, movie dude Eric.
Yeah.
I know you guys are big fans. Called this the first great movie of 2020.
Really?
So
The Gentleman.
That may or may not change your opinion of it.
Okay.
Because he didn't like Galaxy Quest.
Well, I mean, everybody's entitled to be wrong once in a while.
That's true. So moving into news, Captain Marvel 2 is officially in the works from the writer of WandaVision. Are you guys excited for more Captain Marvel 2?
I'm excited
for... I know someone that is.
Captain Marvel.
I'm sorry, 2?
Sure.
Apparently, they're going up to the present day now. They're skipping forward. So, like, rumor mill has been running overdrive in terms of the theory going around is there are all of these Marvel movies that they're not telling us are in development, and we're only getting, like, little snippets. And, like, there was a rumor about, they cast Wolverine, and, Deadpool is going to do this, and this is going to, New Mutants is going to be an MCU movie, and it's not going to be an MCU movie, and it is, and we don't actually know. So, what are you guys taking away from all of the Marvel chit-chat, or what do you kind of hope is the next thing we're going to hear about?
I think they're just doing the Crisis thing. I mean, by doing Crisis, DC made the movie, the TV show, the 60s TV show, canceled TV show, weird stuff that we barely know that happened, cartoons. They all made it canon all of a sudden. I think Marvel is gearing to do the exact same thing.
They're just going
to
be like, it's going to be...
Yeah, well, we own Fox, so yes, these X-Men movie actually happened, but in another dimension.
Right,
so,
right.
Hey, we're going to pick and choose what we want. I think that's where we're going.
Beef, thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, I just want more content, and you know me, I don't believe any of it till we actually hear more of it. So if it's only been reported one or two places, and if you haven't thrown it in here, then it doesn't matter to me. So
okay.
Yeah, where's the news about the Crow reboot?
I tend to vet these pretty thoroughly. Tarantino, Quentin, is talking
your buddies
about...
Now.
Yeah, Quentin, my friend QT on the QT. He says that original films... so he did an interview with Deadline talking about original films versus blockbusters. And he says, as far as I can see, the commercial product that is owned by the conglomerates, a.k.a. Disney, the projects everybody knows and has in their DNA, whether it be Marvel, Star Wars, Godzilla, James Bond, those films never had a better year than last year. But it would have been the year of world domination had been complete, but it kind of wasn't because... A lot of original movie content came out and demanded to be seen, including his movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And so he's kind of talking about how films that were original also had a big year. I think he's kind of hedging his bets. He's not going the full Scorsese on this one, but no. he's also saying, like, look, original movies also did fine.
I think when you sum it,
stop thinking Avengers.
I think when you sum up the year, it's cinema that doesn't fall into the blockbuster
right,
IP like, proof status made its last stand this year.
No,
though.
Oh,
no, it came back.
That's what he says, though. It made its last stand this year.
I don't know. Yeah, down at the bottom, you're right. He does. I think when you, but I don't know. Like, there's always going to be a place for original content. It's looking more and more
Netflix.
Like Netflix. Yeah. But at the same time, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917, like, these are movies that are doing good business. Knives Out, guys, still in the top 10.
This movie's still making money. I can't believe it.
So, like, I just have to think that all this bullshit, and certainly from someone like Tarantino... Even more so than Scorsese, Tarantino is a master of schlock. He loves lowbrow cinema. And the fact that he's like, oh, I don't know.
He does love lowbrow cinema, though.
Anyway, we're going to get more of the same. Let's see, there's a Bambi remake coming up. I don't even know where they're going to go with that.
They're not going to kill the mother this time. Yeah.
They better.
I know.
And how else is Bambi going to go on her revenge, and become the deer knight?
The Bambinatrix.
Yes.
There you go. That's the sequel we want to see.
I think that is.
Copyright.
So, if you've been paying attention to what's happening over in the UK, the Black Mirror creators started a... production company called House of Tomorrow. Speaking of,
good for him.
Isn't that one of our? Wasn't that one of our ratings?
Yeah, one of our movies. So they quit that to focus on their deal with Netflix. So they're in talks with Netflix.
That'll be cool.
Netflix is making more Black Mirror, but they don't own Black Mirror.
So they might not even get it, even if these people come over.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So they could develop something else in the same vein. It just wouldn't be Black Mirror.
Opaque window.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Howard the Duck and Dazzler and Tigra animated series is dead at Hulu. Sure. So two of the four animated series that they had.
And this was to be called The Offenders, I believe.
Yeah, so they're pretty much canceling it all.
They're still going to do MODOK.
Liar.
No, they are.
No, for now.
And there's another one that they're working on.
Right, but for now.
I was excited for Howard the Duck, man. But
me not gonna too.
Happen. So awards stuff. The Directors Guild 1917 won the top prize, really kind of foreshadowing its Oscar win, we're thinking. Also, Roger Deakins won the top award at the American Society of Cinematographers. I think the winds are shifting in 1917's favor. I don't think we're going to see an upset from Joker or Parasite. But we'll see, right?
I would be very surprised, but sure.
New Transformers movies are coming, ooh. Wing. I thought you'd be excited for this.
You laugh, but I am. I've watched Bumblebee, and you know the
first
5 minutes.
Should we put that on our list?
Yes, I'm putting it on the list right now, Bumblebee.
The first 5 minutes of that movie is my childhood dream.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can make a movie out of that, because they know what to, they clearly know how to do it. So if they can't go that way, I'm so excited. If they lean Michael Bay, well, I'm gonna wait for the next one again.
Okay. Also, the Batman started filming. We got the first on-set photo from director Matt Reeves.
I'm moist.
I can't say I'm not moist.
I'm excited, but I'm not. I don't know. I'm girded, if that's the right word.
Would you say you've girded your loins to the?
Oh, my loins are girded to the bat wing. What? I don't.
What?
Huh? The
no.
Fuck?
Oh,
to the cowl? I don't. What?
Beef.
Huh?
Go sleep.
I will after I'm done editing.
And finally, the Fast Saga, as it is now being called. We got a poster, or I guess a teaser poster, for F9, Fast and or Furious 9. And the trailer will come Friday. Now this is interesting. The trailer is going to come Friday. What's on Sunday?
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. The Canadian answered that first, which is a little concerning. But
wait a minute. The Super Bowl is this Sunday?
The Super Bowl is this Sunday, February 2nd. So wear red, you'll be good, whichever team you know you care about. But the interesting thing that I read online, and I don't have actually an article source for this, maybe it was Forbes, said that movie studios are not investing in commercials for the Super Bowl this year. Now, which traditionally we get a big halftime movie trailer for something, but this year it's too expensive, and they're saying we're not going to do it because we can release it online and get as many views. So
I wonder if Netflix is going to drop a movie again this year.
I mean, they've got a bunch anyway if they want to. We've got some trailers to talk about if you want to talk about Netflix.
We could talk about some dumpage.
Okay. Trailer dump. Coming at ya, Alex Rider is going to be a TV series.
Huh?
Okay, if they have to. Sure.
I didn't even put a link in for this next one. What the hell am I doing?
I don't know. What's wrong with you?
What do you guys think about? Did you watch the Alex Rider trailer?
No. If there's no link, what are you doing?
No, I'm talking about the trailer for Alex Rider.
Oh, yeah. That was. No, I don't think I did.
Kind of looks like Kingsman. but also yeah. not.
What channel is this? Oh, Sony TV. I see that.
Sony
I see that.
TV. They didn't give us a channel. Apparently, it's a UK development. It's going to be on ITV there. They didn't give us a release date or source here in the States.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Maybe I'll snag it.
The Stranger on Netflix. Now, I included this because it looked good, and it also, the main guy in it is Trevor Belmont.
Nice.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try just for
Richard
that.
Richard Armitage.
Yeah, I'll give it a try just for that.
The last thing he wanted from Netflix, kind of a twisty, it's got Ben Affleck, Anne Hathaway.
This looks weird and interesting.
Okay.
I like her and him.
I just like you to react. I'll just name things and just react.
That's fine.
Horse Girl.
That's weird.
Which one was this again? Oh, yeah, the this alien was abduction one.
This was, no, this was Alison Brie, who keeps
think she
going
was
crazy.
Abducted.
Maybe she did talk about that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that, no.
All right, I have to ask Wing about this next one. So, Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution.
No, the answer is no. They're remaking all the Pokemon movie with this weird CG 3D bullshit.
That's what I thought, because I thought Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back had already been a thing. So
it was.
They're basically taking the existing vocal tracks and reanimating it in CGI, right?
I don't know. I'll have to be honest. I have no idea, but the thing I know is that, no, don't do that. It freaks me out.
And
no, I tried to watch Saint Seiya on Netflix also, and it's the same thing. It's the same weird 3D, and after 15 minutes, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Next.
Well, this will come to you on Pokemon Day, which is apparently February 27th.
Is it a Monday? Pokemon Day?
Ooh, that was good.
No, it's a date. So
yeah.
Come on. They really missed the opportunity.
Pokemon Day. That's good. Normally, I'm the Pun King, but I doff my cap at you,
hey,
sir.
I've gotten like two on the cast from you, so I'll take
good,
that one.
Good. Very good. The Undoing with Nicole Kidman from the people who did Big Little Lies and The Night Manager. The Undoing on HBO.
I like The Night Manager a lot.
That was good. That's a good show. Also, Hugh Laurie being a jerk. Am I right?
What now?
Okay.
The Night Manager.
Oh yes,
with
yes, yes,
with
yes,
Loki,
yes, yes, yes.
And it's got Hugh Laurie in it as like the bad guy.
Can you stop yelling at me, dang!
But he you think he's nice, and then you know he's bad, and then okay. And it's got Loki in it. And, yeah.
When you have to explain it, it's not as fun.
It's not
it
supposed
not
to
fun.
Be funny. It's supposed to be descriptive.
Whoa. Is your dog barking? My dog's barking.
It's your dog.
Okay. Star Wars The Clone Wars, the final season.
I'm so excited. I'm actually very,
but this
very
has
excited.
That weird 3D animation you don't like.
No, it's not the same at all. This has, like, I would say level of detail that the Pokemon one doesn't have, where everything is slick in the Pokemon one. These one looks like a little bit more like people. Watch all of that and all of Rebels, so this is kind of the missing piece in the middle. So it's going to be nice.
Why would I watch it? I know what happens. No, I'm just kidding.
Order 66.
This looks fun. I'll do it. Do it. That makes
do
me
it.
Have to
it's
go back
be on
and
Disney
watch
Plus,
other ones.
Because you've got that, right?
It's free. Beef, it's free.
You're right.
It's
I paid for it already.
I never watched I think I watched the first season, but I don't know if I watched the rest of the Clone Wars. I have not watched Rebels.
The problem is that you watch the first season of Clone Wars, just start at 3.
Okay.
And when you see that there's an episode with Jar Jar, but that means there are going to be 3, skip them.
Yeah, Jar Jar comes in 3s, just like Death's in the family.
Yeah.
All the shows comes in 3s. That's the idea. It's like they kept the idea of the how do you call that, the Cinerama
3-episode arc.
Exactly, 3
trilogy.
Trilogies, but like you're missing a couple of pieces here and there, like in the movies. So
it's a shame
really
they
well
didn't
done.
It's a shame they didn't do this for this latest trilogy. They just did Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. They didn't do a third one.
I was rewatching The Last Jedi today, and I was like, yeah, that's a good end to the Star Wars saga.
It's a great ending. It's a great ending.
Yeah.
Okay, so movies, only three movie trailers that I can tell you about, and one technically isn't, well, no, hold on. Two aren't actually going to be in theaters. Yeah. This kind of is sad. All right, the first one is Holly Slept Over from Sony Digital. Not getting a theatrical release. This. It's a direct-to-video. I did some research. So this was actually filmed in 2017 in Syracuse, New York.
Oh, dear God.
There's the trivia for you. Holly Slept Over, Beef.
This looks fun. This is with Nathalie Emanuel, who's Miss Sande from Game of Thrones.
What she want to do with us, Beef?
She wants to have a threesome with us. I would totally, if she showed up at mine or my lady friend's house and offered a threesome up, I would just be, I'd be like this dude. I'd be begging.
Yeah. Are you going to say no to someone that knock at your door and ask for that?
No. It's obviously not. But
it's an interesting movie premise. I liked the trailer for this. And it looks fun.
It was a one-time thing that happened
five or six times in college, yeah. Okay, so next one, directed by Spike Jones, who we know well from our past 1999 year. We watched a movie directed by him and a movie starring him, The Beastie Boys Story.
I was pretty mad that this trailer was only like 30 seconds because right when I started to get all up in the feels with the music, it went to black and said, whatever, coming soon. Or
to Apple TV Plus.
Gonna probably steal that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Last trailer, The Color Out of Space with Nicolas Cage, now in theaters.
Oh, dear God, this. I don't care.
We're
going to make you watch
good
this.
Reviews.
We're making you watch this.
Great.
They released another trailer a couple days ago, and then it released, I think, in like 80 theaters, and it's gotten really good reviews. I want to try to catch it in theaters if I can. But this is the H.P. Lovecraft story, Richard Stanley directing it. So,
okay.
Beef, buddy, you've been watching some stuff?
A little bit, yeah. I'll fire some of this off, and we can chit-chat quick. Parasite, I watched that. That was actually really good.
I read it against
all of my normal things, and I read it, and I was very entertained, and I really liked it. And
can we start choosing movies with subtitles now? That would be great.
Slowly, like once every 2 months. I don't want to hurt my brain. I'm a history documentary horror, and I was looking for one, and it came across my radar. Megan Fox apparently did Legends of the Lost, and I'm like, there's no
is
way
that like Land of the Lost.
No, it's just the first season's only four episodes. You can get it on Amazon for like $5.
And what happens in this?
She goes around the world and basically she's
points at things with her toe thumb.
Yes, she she hides her toe thumb pretty well, so it does not freak me out as much. But she's actually asks a lot of intelligent questions and smart questions, and it's a fun show. I like it.
Yeah, and so she said like these ancient people like. Did they breathe air? And they're like, yes.
No. She's actually, stop it. I am honestly surprised by how intelligent she is. I'm like, okay, so she's not just everything the tabloids say. You know, I get it.
Can I read the next entry here? Because it says, mom hooked up Fire Stick.
So my mom has gotten a Fire Stick. She didn't hook it up, but I hooked it up for her. And,
you hooked your mom up?
I hooked my mom up with a big old fire stick. And she...
And you know the fire sticks are bad for you, right? Like you're not...
Yeah, they're habit forming.
Yeah, the fire sticks are bad.
She's been using it 2 days straight. And can I be honest? She couldn't get into the Roku, but she is all over the fire stick. She is... Okay. She's down.
Well, you can talk to it. That's why.
I haven't even told her that yet. I want to get her to learn the old ways first.
Okay. Why? You're like your grandfather? Yeah. Like, oh, you
gotta learn for when Alexa, network
computer.
Goes down.
Hello, computer.
Something we can.
What is your mom watching on the Fire Stick?
She totally isn't using my Disney account, and she watched what's the one, Togo or whatever, with with Captain Dong and the dog.
Willem Dafoe. Yep.
And she's watching a lot of Netflix and her Amazon account, so she's just checking it all out. Lots of food stuff, lots of...
I hear moms like Grace and Frankie. My mom told me she was a fan of that.
I will add that
it's
down.
So good.
Okay.
Picard, have we all watched Picard?
I did watch the first episode. Yeah.
Awesome. Amazing.
That's the best Star Trek I've seen in years.
As someone who could give two shits about Star Trek, I thought it was phenomenal.
Okay.
Avenue 5, we touched on it. Super fun and funny.
I watched the first episode. Looks good.
Second one was out Sunday night.
Okay, cool.
And The Outsider is another HBO limited series, kind of mystery, murder detective-y thing with
based on Stephen King. We talked about the trailer a few weeks ago.
Yes, and it's actually it's weird. It's I don't know. It's definitely worth a watch.
Good.
So yeah, hey, that's the end of my viewing.
Very good. I watched many of those things. I did watch Avenue 5 and Picard. I also had some downtime on Friday. I took the day off from work. For no apparent reason, decided to watch Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
And?
All right. I have to say, I'm a big Mothra fan. Guys, if you know me well, you know I am Team Mothra, hashtag Team Mothra. So that was pretty sweet to have Mothra in there. The movie made no goddamn sense whatsoever. But I liked it more than the first Godzilla because Godzilla actually fought other monsters and not just bugs.
Okay.
So that was cool. Also, this movie does this fun thing of like casting a bunch of people that you know from other stuff. So you're just like, oh, there's a guy from Workaholics and the guy from The West Wing and the guy from Game of Thrones and the guy from this and that and the other thing. And also it had Eleven from Stranger Things in it, and it had the coach from Friday Night Lights, and it was fine. It just was a fine, stupid movie.
I'm fine.
That's what Godzilla has become, because last time it was Bryan Cranston for 3 seconds.
Right, and this one did a better job of not killing people off, although it...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Spoilers for Godzilla King of Monsters. Did have Sally Hawkins, who we know and love from The Shape of Water, and they killed her off pretty early, and I was pissed. So, yeah. So, spoilers for Godzilla King
God
of Monsters.
Damn it.
So I also watched with my wife Booksmart, which is the high school, basically it's the girl equivalent to Superbad. I know we talked about the trailer a while back, directed by Olivia Wilde. This movie needs to be watched on this podcast.
I heard that said like the gem from last year that nobody saw.
Yeah, so it's on Hulu, so you can watch it for free if you have that. And then it really a lot of fun. And again, like it's the end of high school. It's these two girls that have always stuck to the rules and been the overachievers. And so last night they decide to go party, and it's chaos ensues. Really, really fun. Awesome soundtrack. Good fun. Booksmart. So a dumb movie and a smart movie is what you got from me. Wing?
I've watched Picard and I've read a bunch of things I can't talk about, which has taken most of my time. So when
you say you have read a bunch of things that you can't talk about, are these things that we might be able to watch at some point?
Probably, yeah. There are things that came up in news.
And if we were to say, ask you about the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which I don't believe you were on the podcast last week to discuss.
Yep.
Of those Infinite Earths, which would you look forward to visiting?
Personally, I want to go back to Batman 66. Come on.
Okay. All right. What's your take on what Stephen Amell has been saying about his swan song?
It was about time that he says that. It's not the first time that they're kind of screwing him up on the way they're shooting this, so they're to have the best performance. And it's weird because I read that right after I saw the episode, and I was like, I died better the first time. And then he explained why. I was like, ah. But my biggest letdown from Crisis is that they've been setting shit up for 5 years, and that didn't pay off that much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my biggest, like, okay. But now that the shows are starting again and everything has changed and characters are not the same and all that, that's fun.
I think my takeaway from Crisis is that they did a much better job this year of making it look like five episodes of the same show rather than five tangentially related episodes of different shows.
Agreed.
So that was fun.
Brendan Routh was out of this world.
I mean, like, they gotta give him something, right? Like, he's not on Legends of Tomorrow anymore.
Well, he left, so, to do other stuff. So, I guess, but they're talking about doing a miniseries with a Superman?
I mean, hasn't he proven that he could basically go back to the big screen, right?
Well, let's be honest, he's good as Superman. He looks good as Superman. He was well cast.
I mean, my read of it was he's continuing Christopher Reeve. Like, that was the Christopher Reeve Superman,
and that's what we want. So, hey, if they found a way to put Ezra Miller in there, they can find a way to give me my Superman back.
Very good.
I mean, between that and Battison, I think we're starting to have a world finest there.
Very cool.
Word.
We did it. We got through our month of crappy movies, guys.
It was painful.
Every year we torture ourselves. Every year we swear we're never going to do it again.
There was only one bad movie this month.
One and a half.
Definitely at least three.
Don't tell me you didn't like Carter. I didn't have the time to listen to the one from last week.
We didn't like Carter.
Fuck.
There were parts of it that were all right, but for the most part,
that's what you miss when you don't come on this podcast.
I watched it and I was like, yeah, it's better than I remember.
What we all thought was that we liked it better when we first saw it and much less now.
Okay.
Compare John Carter to Aquaman.
Good point.
Next time, okay. Legends Podcast. Oh, brother, where art thou? I'm happy.
That's one of my favorite. Going for the Coen brothers. Forever.
Yeah.
And we're sticking with George Clooney. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. At least this one's going to be a much better movie.
Yeah, it should be. And it is how old?
25? Question mark?
20 years old. 20,
exactly what I said. 20 years old.
Yeah, 20 years old. It's got the guy from Watchmen in it, too. Mirror guy.
I remember buying that for the video store when it came out. God damn it.
Have a comment?
All right.
Have a comment, question, recommendation? Email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That's with an extra S for shitty movies.
And next week it's going to be an extra S for Swats the Soggy Bottom Boys. Yeehaw!
This has been episode 457 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, I'm excited. I forgot about them fuckers.
I'm John D saying, hey, a musical. That's been a while.
John Loves just saying, see you next time, y'all. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.